booted out of your out of your chair the last time Christina was here. When was that?
A couple months. This year, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely.
That was not that long ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago? Okay.
Like, less than 2 months ago?
Less than two?
Yeah.
Well, seems longer.
It feels so early to me.
So how did you guys meet?
What?
Wait, we just did that.
I want her side of it. Oh.
Do you want to see if our story?
Yeah, Christina, why it takes so long to follow him back? So what's the deal there? Playing hard to get. Why can't you just hit the follow button? You followed people you don't know before. Why did you have to wait so long? He made you a little nervous. Say it.
No, I feel like an asshole saying this, but I just didn't want to talk to anybody back then.
Okay.
I was still like so burnt from my ex, and people kind of coming at me were frustrating me.
Yeah.
And I had kind of met a few other, not met guys, like met them intimately, but I had started conversations with a few guys after my ex, and they were all narcissists. They were all like, they all had an agenda, and I'm like, oh my God, fuck everyone.
Right.
Like, I was just like, the people out here were really rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And so it became apparent to me that I wasn't ready at all for so many reasons, and so I just didn't have a desire to talk to anybody, and I was so in my zone and I was starting my prep, so I felt like I had blinders on at that point. And he was really nice. It literally went over my head, and it's weird because I've never been that person before. I was shut off to everybody, but for a reason.
Isn't it funny now how, you know, we talk to people and it's like, it's on Instagram. Like, I met my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Slid into her DM, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how that's what's going on now. You
right.
know?
That's a common thing to say.
You don't get a follow back. Oh, she doesn't like me. She doesn't want to talk. You know, right. It's like that mentality.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I was just a little bit jaded. I thought people didn't show me their real selves for a long time. So I was like, meh. But then after a while I kept seeing him, and then I saw that he had a mutual friend of mine. And I'm like, okay, maybe he's safe. Like, maybe I can like have a conversation. Then when I heard the whole background of this, I felt like an asshole, but it was clear I was not ready to kind of meet anybody new at all.
Yeah.
And, I'm actually glad, because I don't think I would have been a good person then either.
Mm.
I mean, maybe not a bad person, but I wouldn't have been ready to express myself or even get to know somebody on a genuine level because I wasn't there.
So what changed it?
He became my friend. He genuinely wanted to be my friend. And I don't have guys who just genuinely want to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So
always that hidden agenda.
It just sucks because I saw this quote once that was like, guys get mad for getting friend zoned. Well, do you ever think about the girls who get upset that they realize they never had a friend?
Right.
And they just realize that the guy was trying to get in their pants the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never had that balance. And I didn't like quote unquote friend zone him right away, but I wasn't interested in anything. Just kind of how he said it too.
Yeah.
And he was showing me some support through my prep, which I really appreciated. And it seemed very genuine. And then he kind of started opening up to me about his story, and I found it very intriguing.
Which is interesting because a lot of people would run.
I mean, it wasn't something that I like jumped to, that's for sure. But I like people who have been through bad things.
Yep.
Because I get it.
Yep.
On a obviously different level, but I like people who have been through bad things and can use it to turn their lives around. I find it very inspiring.
Yeah.
I don't really get along with people who have had their lives handed to them on a silver platter. To be honest with me, that like grinds my gears. So when I see anybody, even a friend, coworker, you know, potential somebody who I'm like working for, I really like when they've been through adversities because it's relatable.
Yeah.
As long as they're not using that, like, and they're still stuck in their ways, then I have to obviously keep my distance. And I think anybody should, because you can get sucked into toxic like spaces. But I thought it was really cool that he had changed his whole life. And so I just kind of started talking to him about that, and it made me think about my story. And we just kind of shared those commonalities of healing from trauma. Obviously different reasons for trauma, but I had somebody who I could relate to. And so we just developed this really cool friendship. And he was always wanting to help me. And I'm like, why? Like, what do you want? But eventually I started having feelings. And I'm like, is it just me? And I just kind of got blunt and asked him. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice when the, yeah. when the girl does the work on that side of the fence, right? Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was different for me. I normally wouldn't speak up like that, but
would have been funny if he was. It would have been funny if he just said, "Yeah, no, it's you." I,
it, yeah. What?
Just to fuck no, with I'm, you at least.
Yeah, I just want to be right? friends.
Girl. Yeah.
I'd be like, "Oh, just kidding. I was just kidding. I was just testing right. you."
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, but it was also something that I had realized about myself was. I always jumped into relationships in my past, and I sought like validation in relationships because it healed my own traumas and stuff like that. So this was the first time in my life ever since I broke up with my fiance that I was like really, really, really going to take things slow with absolutely every encounter I had. So it was kind of refreshing that he respected that too, and he knew what I went through. So I felt safe and kind of like letting that happen a little bit.
Isn't it funny how you can go from when you break up with someone, you go from like, oh my God, I can't believe this is over. I can't believe, oh my God, poor me. Oh my God, to what the fuck was I doing with that guy? Isn't it yeah. crazy?
Never happened to me.
And never. Yeah. It's crazy because I've been doing a lot of like research and just like, I guess you can call it research. There's a lot of reading too about trauma and mm-hmm. why people are the way they are, why they become, you know, serial cheaters, why all of that kind of stuff and where that actually comes from. And it helped me understand a lot because, you know, I think most people can relate when they get cheated on. They immediately think it's because of them. They immediately think there's something wrong with them. They start self-deprecating. It's like a spiral effect. And especially if they were a person like myself who suffers from abandonment or whatever, it just like crushes their fucking soul. Mm-hmm. But the more I like look into this, it really goes back to like what that person has suffered from as a child mm-hmm. and what they've been through. And not that I'll give it any excuse because it happened so repetitively and there was so much manipulation behind it, but I can understand that this comes from an unhealed place. And I have empathy for that. Mm-hmm. And I wish even my ex who hurt me like nothing but the best. And I hope he heals and I hope he gets better. Not that I ever want to have that communication again, but I can understand where it comes from. There's something in there that's like not healed. And it's not about me or him. It's about something that he needs to like heal for himself from like his generational stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it was his dad or his mom or even stuff he probably experienced like in high school or college or even when, yeah. you know, I don't know, through his work or whatever. But that starts getting projected into the way you start behaving towards other people.
Yep.
That's when they always say, like, it's not about you. Like, people hurt people. And that's like a very fucking true statement.
100%.
And in the moment, it's not easy to realize that at right. all. I was like, no, fuck this shit. But I'm like, you know what? You are so wounded.
Right.
And you are self-sabotaging because you don't feel worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know how many people will think that, but eventually, if they do the work, they'll start understanding where it comes from.
Yeah, your childhood absolutely dictates what you're going to be like in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
And it can be your whole life if you don't break that cycle.
Right.
For sure.
I even had to think about it, too, because I realized like my stepdad was a complete narcissist. I never like thought about it. But when I started doing all this work, I started thinking back to like how he treated my mom and what I had to witness growing up. I literally mirrored this shit.
Right.
And I didn't realize it back then. But like, you know, looking outside the box now, I'm like, holy fuck. Like I put up with stuff that I watched my mom put up with because I didn't yeah. understand it.
Right.
You know, so it's
and
just
you
really
see her
crazy.
Accept it. So
I thought
then you'll
that's
accept
what you
it.
Do.
Right.
That's what you do. So and my mom's an angel. I mean, that's her trauma, too. Like that goes back yep. from like her mom making her not feel worthy. So she becomes this person who then people pleases somebody who is essentially like a narcissist or somebody who has those kinds of tendencies. And it's just you get in this like toxic hamster wheel.
Right.
That's why I just find it so intriguing. This like makes me like want to study more psychology because it's not only helped me understand like my own stuff, but it helps me understand the world so much better, too. And when people are hurting, I just look at them at such a different level beyond my frustration with what they're dealing with. I'm like, there's so much underneath this and I want right. to help you pull it out so bad.
Yeah. It's interesting. And then you said, you know, at what point. It's like, you know, okay, they did this because of that,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not an excuse.
Right.
But it's also an excuse. So it's like, it's both. So it's like, at what point, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that with everything.
It's a little tricky.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
What I'm saying is, If you grew up in, you're abused as a kid, your dad beats you, you're going to beat your kid 9 times out of 10.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
When do you become the cycle breaker?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And And it's like you have to hold that person accountable every step of the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're damaged goods.
Yeah.
Of course that's what they did, right? Mm-hmm. It's like same thing with child molesters, right? They were all molested. 99% of them fucked with in some capacity as a kid. So they're victims that then victimize.
Yeah.
So how do, like, it's crazy,
it's
right?
It's so hard, especially when it gets that deep too. Right. Like I don't even know where to start with that.
Right.
But for something like this, like you have to decide you want to make the change. Even like Ricky, like you have to decide you want to not do drugs. You have to decide that you want to be better for your future. You want to decide you don't want to be like your parents. You know, like I got to the point where I was like, I don't ever want to be that girl that I was back in 2019 ever fucking again. Like it stops right now because I got so sick of not like wrapping my head around what happened to me, but like being like, wow, I have a pattern as well. Like I let people walk all over me because I want to help them so bad and fix them so bad that I make up excuses for them. And that literally gets me nowhere. So I was like,
right.
I'm done with this. My sister too, she went through her own little spiritual awakening and she's like really big on stopping generational stuff from happening. And we even had to work with my mom because she's like, Christina, what did I do to you guys? Because she's like listening to our podcast and stuff. And I'm like, nothing, like absolutely nothing.
Excuse me a moment. I'm trying to
look at the signs. Look at the signs behind us. Look at what we're looking at. Does Christina Lauren even ever had a fucking McGriddle?
Hold on, I want a photo McGriddle.
Wait, have you had one?
Yeah.
Wait, Chase, show me that sign. Let me see what's.
I'm like,
you gotta love.
Sorry, these.
You gotta love
fucking
these
first
guys.
Day on prep, you guys. What are you trying to do?
No McGriddle. I definitely need a McGriddle, but she'll be gone by the time that McGriddle gets here. So bring them on. Hash browns, McGriddles for everyone.
Fuck McMuffin.
Fuck yeah. I'll eat that shit on camera.
Yes.
Yeah, bring her a head of lettuce.
Shut
and
up.
Get her a McGriddle protein style.
McGriddle.
So you're on prep. Are we switching topics? Or?
No, I'm sorry. I just, the three students.
Yeah, I understand.
In.
It was good. I like that. I got excited when it said
so McGriddle. You mentioned prep.
Yes.
So, yes, let's talk about that for a second. Because I know on your Instagram you've talked about the struggles that you had with prep, coming onto it and coming off of it.
Yeah.
So March 1st was kind of the start date.
Yeah, I fucked up March 1st, not going to lie. So today's the day. I've been training for day club, and it's been like screwing with my schedule because it's implementing a new job into my 50 other ones that I'm trying to juggle. So it kind of threw me off. But no excuse, it's my bad. But I'm starting this week trying to get my headspace. I like to give myself 16 solid weeks of prep, so I'm a little over it now. So I figured if I had a little bit of a buffer just to kind of get used to it. But Worlds will be again in August, so I'm going to go back.
Now, do you get nervous? No, you don't get nervous.
No, I'm excited. Like, I just love the stage. Like, I like being in front of people. That's never been an issue for me. I actually feel like really good on stage. Yeah. And I felt even better this last time because I was in a completely different mindset than I've been in my whole life. I felt very sure of myself. And I was explaining to some of my friends, like I used to get really nervous as far as like walking and showing up. I was so grounded. I felt every step and I felt like I was breathing. I wasn't holding my breath. I'm like, wow, I've grown a lot. So not really nervous for the prep. It's more so just getting my mindset right because I also have some self-sabotaging tendencies too. And that's something I've had to work on. But yeah, this teaches me, this helps me a ton. Yeah.
Self-sabotaging with fitness stuff or just life?
I think life in general. Fitness was a big part of it because I kind of got involved with fitness during like my big traumatic years. And so I had an association with competing and numbing myself.
Got it.
It was like I could consume myself so much with a prep that I could kind of forget about what was actually happening in my life. Which it's weird because like it helped me, but it also numbed me from like dealing with shit.
Yeah.
So that was your escape almost?
Yeah. So it was like a healthy escape, but it also didn't let me like face reality. I think I was like in denial. I didn't really, I had all these like feelings of what was happening and I'm like, but I didn't have proof. And I was just going crazy. And I'm like, okay, just focus on your prep. You don't need to like worry about this kind of stuff. And so it kind of, I had this like weird attachment to it. That's why this last prep was so important to me, because it was the first one I did by myself. I really wanted to focus on like not just the physical aspect of getting leaner and stronger and looking better, but actually like how my mind was during the prep and like my internal wellness. And it made a difference, a huge difference.
Before you came in and we were talking to Ricky, I said, I've never seen someone do such a drastic 180 in such a short amount of time.
Thank you.
About not you.
Sorry.
About me?
Yes, oh. About you. What? Hello?
I thought
yes.
You were about Ricky.
No. Oh, well, his story's amazing. Yeah. But no, yeah, I'm talking about you because I witnessed yours.
I know.
I mean, just from March or whenever you came in. When did you come in first?
It was probably like February or March of 2021. So literally like
right
3 months after I like bounced.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was like.
Yeah, because I was saying like, you know, normally I hate life coach type people.
Uh-huh.
Most of them, because I just. Nah, just whatever. Don't like it. Don't buy it.
But you are also the mindset of you're not going to therapy. Nobody's going to tell you, you know, you're very.
Well, yeah. Well, I think therapists are full of shit.
Right.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Because it's just a conflict of interest. They're not motivated to solve your problems when you pay them by the hour, period. Mm. So I can get to the bottom, not patting myself on the back, but I can fuck get to the bottom of anybody's problems in 20 questions or less and get you on the path to righteousness and feeling better and healing
Amen.
Yourself. Yeah, no, but I can because I'm not getting paid to do it. What's that? Right? Yeah.
Sounds like a life
no, yeah, I know. But, you know, it's like when you're paying them by the hour, they're not going to solve your fucking problems. They're just not. They're just going to let you talk and they're going to give you little fucking bullshit tidbits and they're going to stretch it out. What they could do to change you in a week, they take 16 months. It's bullshit. So life coaches drive me nuts. You, different story. I think because A, I know you've lived it. And then B, I see. It's like I've seen the transformation happen myself. It's really impressive. It really is. Even the way you sound on the microphone, show one compared to now. It's like night and day. Your social media, everything. It's like it's really been cool to watch.
Now, I feel like
when you have people slide in your DMs, like I'm assuming it's mostly girls that have been through what you've been through. When you look at their Instagram, are you even shocked? Like wow. Like because like I know you're not alone. Mm-hmm. But has it been, I would imagine still like there's probably some girls that slide in your DM that you look at them and their Instagram is so happy, front facing. Like
I see through everything.
You see through it now.
I literally feel like what I went
but
through
you didn't
gave me
before.
A fucking gift. No.
Right.
No, I had the wool over my eyes because I also didn't understand any of this stuff. And this is the one thing I will say I took from therapy because for me, I was dealing with complex post-traumatic stress disorder, did not know how to manage it. And I also didn't know what a narcissist was. I didn't know what emotional abuse was. I didn't know, like, I know it sounds silly, but I really didn't know. I didn't think about it. I've never had to experience it. So in the very beginning, my first therapist educated me a lot.
Yeah.
And it opened my fucking eyeballs.
Yeah.
My second therapist, I felt like how you were talking about. And then I got spiritual energy practitioners. I got a life coach and a mentor that was specifically, I sought her out because she's somebody who I looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, is key. It's not just going to some random person
right.
because you are going to feel like what you were talking about. It has to be right for you, whether it's a therapist or a spiritual worker, like, you know, whatever that is, whatever that means
sure.
for you. I lost my train of thought. What were you asking me?
Girls that have a front facing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it back then, but now when girls come to me and I look at what they're going through, where they tell me a little bit and I look at their page and I'm like, oh man, like it's so black and white to me.
Right.
I just want to shake them, but I also know that's not the right way.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many girls I've helped this year. And it blows my mind because I didn't know I'd be able to do that, nor want to.
Right.
I even had a girl who my ex actually had an affair with come to me for help.
Did you?
Wow.
We're friends now.
But
yeah.
Did you know this?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
She actually came to me. I don't want to share. Her stuff, but she wanted to explain to me what happened years ago because she also got manipulated as well. And she wound up back with her ex, who was very abusive. And so when she finally was able to leave him, she's like, I really want to talk to you. And so we talked and got all out. And it made me understand things for her so much too. But it was really cool to watch her get out and flourish. And like, you, when you remove yourself from toxic situations, you literally, like, everything gets better. Your skin gets better. Like, you literally, I'm like, wow, you're really pretty. Like, right. you're glowing. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not stressed. You're not swollen and inflamed. Like, there's a lot of things that happen. So watching her was really cool. And I had a lot of respect for her because she came to me as a woman and was like, I know this is late, but I really want to talk to you about what happened and what I went through and how this all transpired. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn. And so I met with her, and that's how I also knew, like, forgiveness does help a lot. Because even though, like, there were reasonings, I'm like, you know, that's not what I would have done in the situation. I probably would have checked some background shit, but like, it wasn't her fault. And I felt like that was very ballsy of her, and I really fucking respected that. But when I looked at it, I'm like, man, I knew it. Like, I knew it just from, like, looking at it. But I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal and say I just know everything, but it's different once you've lived it to look at it. So, and that's kind of what I want to do with my coaching. I'm still trying to figure it out because yes, fitness and nutrition is a big part of it, but I've found joy and some kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? It just some kind of like gratifying feeling to
rewarding,
help. It's rewarding to help other women kind of like live their best lives, not just break up with their toxic ex, but like figure out what I was trying to figure out for myself all along and how I can become this person that I can sit down and feel good in my own skin. And I want so many more women to feel that way because I feel like I'm making up for so much lost time now because I wish I could have been like this.
And if you don't do that and you don't work on yourself, you're just going to go right back into it. They don't even realize they do that. You're just going to trade one piece of shit for the next. It's inevitable.
Yeah. And that's why it's so crazy. And you can't tell somebody this because they have to see it for themselves. But the person who like goes through something like this and then just goes and like serial dates people.
Yeah.
You're not taking the time for yourself to actually do the work. You're literally just band-aiding it with another human.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to bleed all over them too. You know, like you wind up, and for like the person who was abused, you bleed over people who didn't cut you because you kind of projected. I mean, even Ricky has to deal with my shit sometimes because like I'll panic, you know, and it's really helpful that I have
panic, meaning he'll do something that triggers you.
Not even like he'll do something, but like something maybe, like, it's not like he does something bad.
No. I mean, like, something that's innocent.
Reminds me of something, and I'll just need a little bit more reassurance. And somebody who's toxic would make you feel like you're a psycho for feeling that way, but someone who's healthy can help you understand what your triggers are.
Right, because when they're toxic, they know that you're onto them.
would do to me. And when I would even, like, the first time I tried to give him a chance after the first spout of infidelity, I would, like, have a panic attack just randomly because I did, and he'd be like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Right. I'm trying to heal. And he's like, well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
And I look back now, I'm like, why did I even put up with that?
Yeah.
Like, I would never. But somebody who can look at me and be like, let's talk about this, or if I wake up freaking out, like, you know, make me feel comfortable and not make me feel like a psycho for having a panic attack, that's really helpful to find somebody who's trauma informed and can be there, because that's how you heal. But you having superficial surface level connections with people while you're still dealing with your own traumas is like a recipe for disaster.
It's always interesting to me how, you know, with your ex or with experiences in life, when you're in them, how horrible they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back at them and still say, you know, yeah, they were horrible, but almost be thankful that they happened.
Yeah.
Because of that, you were able to progress and learn from those changes or those mistakes. I mean, I know personally, as you can attest,
for sure,
you know, the probably around the same time, you know, during the whole pandemic and going into the beginning of last year, it was horrible. You know, I spent, I don't think I've ever even said this on the air. I don't know. But I spent 2 nights in an insane asylum, basically.
Damn.
And it changed my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
Am I happy it happened? Yes. Now, looking back at it now, I am happy it happened because I learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a 180 too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But that's what it is.
Since literally, what was it, like April or May of 2020?
Well, I mean, Or before? No, it was, that was last January 2021 was when I was.
Was it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, I mean, just one big blur.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, it seems early, like further away.
No, yeah. And the only reason I remember that is that Monday, and it was snowing in Vegas, and I was behind windows with bars on it.
That was when I was trying to get you out?
That's crazy. Yeah. You'll never forget that imagery, too.
Yeah.
No.
I have some, like, big stamps of images in my head like that as well.
Yeah, it was
I was trying to spring him out after 12 what was it, 12 hours maybe or whatever.
Quick, yeah.
I thought I had it too, and then I don't know what happened. They fucking lied to me, but yeah.
Whatever.
But
again, you know, it's those experiences that, you know, bring people closer together.
Yeah.
You know, it's always the joke of, you know, your funerals and these sad moments bring families closer.
Yeah.
I sometimes wish I'm like, did the universe really have to hit me that hard in the fucking face? Like, wake me up. Like, could you have been a little more gentle?
Yeah, right.
But then again, I wasn't listening to the gentle hints. No. And that's also something that I had to, like, really practice with myself was forgiving myself, because I was, like, beating myself up for a while. And I'm like, you should have fucking known. You should have known. You should have done this. I'm like, at the end of the day, like, I didn't know any better. Like, that's just what I had to process. And once you can grant yourself some grace for winding up in whatever situation it is, you did the best with what you knew and what you've been taught and how you've grown up and what you've seen. And if you can take that and then you utilize it for your best self moving forward, then you've won. Like, you've passed the fucking test. And then once you pass the test, you can start realizing that life will throw you so many beautiful things if you pass the test. But if you don't fucking listen, like you said, you're going to keep getting the same thing over and over and the same people over and over and over again until you learn the lesson.
It's a definition of insanity, you know?
Doing the same thing, expecting different results. Yeah. I definitely was insane then.
Yeah.
You know, we're raising money this time around. Finally, we're podcasting for a purpose. The first 2 years of the 24-hour show we just did for shits and giggles. And now we're like, let's do it for something. So, you know, we teamed up with Project for Humanity. They raise money for a lot of different things. One of the things, their founder, Shauna Gonzalez, is a survivor from sex trafficking.
Wow.
Her story's amazing. You need to have this girl.
I would love to have her on
your show. I mean, literally her parents sold her, essentially. I mean, it's just such a crazy story. I don't even want to tell it.
Yeah.
I want her to tell it. I was wondering, have you had any people that have been through that slide into the DMs?
Actually, when I was like a little baby influencer, like I'm talking like a couple thousand followers, I had a girl follow me and get really inspired, and she shared her story. I should actually have her on too, but she was a victim of sex trafficking from her ex.
Wow.
And from her ex. Yeah, I was like, or was it her ex? It might have been like a coach that became an ex or a boyfriend. I forget. I don't want to not do it justice, but she kind of the same thing. She started like a nonprofit and some organizations and things like that. But the stories she told me were crazy. It was the first time I ever cried, because it was the first person who had, I'll never forget her, reached out to me telling me that I inspired her and then shared her story. And I'm like, I feel so like grateful that you felt comfortable enough like telling me that.
Yeah.
And I can't wrap my head around what that's got to be.
When this girl told me her story, I had tears in my eyes within 30 seconds. What she was able to get out in 30 seconds, summing up her life, is so crazy that a kid, you know, has to go through this stuff from a young age. I mean,
it blows my mind that that's like
unbelievable
how this world is.
Yeah.
I think people like to turn a blind eye to 100%. what's really going on, because it's hard to look at. No, it's like cognitive dissonance. Is that what it is? Yeah, like when you like just you kind of ignore what's happening, so it like helps you feel better. You don't want to you don't want to look at it.
Yeah,
but it's really sad how much that's actually like a thing. Isn't that like the number one, like one of the number one making like money making businesses in the world?
I think it is.
Sex trafficking.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it is.
Which is nuts.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people can treat humans like that like each other like that. I'm always like the one wanting to look at like the positives and like the prettiness and like stay in my own little positive bubble and like not think about like the bad stuff, because I like to not get too much anxiety, but it's important to look at these things because this is reality.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
What?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going to say something.
No, no.
Yeah, you left us on a cliffhanger just now. It felt like a transition. Like you were.
Was there a transition there?
I don't know. I thought you were going to say something there.
Just, I don't know.
Just make sure you've got my bets ready for 9 o'clock. I have to put these in by 9 o'clock. We're going to go over it soon.
Yeah, so do you guys get the okay. Gio walked in. I got to drink anything?
I've got 5-hour energy.
Here's the story here. Here's the bottom line.
Is this it?
This is it.
Well, the McGriddles are coming. Okay. You better get out of here soon.
We're now, 2 hours in. He hasn't gone to the bathroom yet. He's going
to... I'm solid in that area. I can... Yeah, I don't... Right.
Sure.
You're going
to
hold it?
He's going to go to the bathroom. He's going to go to the other room and take a nap. He's going to eat pizza.
There's no nap.
The entire day.
I will eat some pizza, but there's no nap. Come on. Don't be silly. Me? Come on.
I'm going to come back.
If I nap, you know how I do it. I put sunglasses on and I nap right here while you guys are talking. I did that
last year.
First year. Did I do it last year?
Yeah, you did it last year.
Last year?
Last year, literally, he was like this.
2 a.m.? I did fall asleep the first year. Gio had brought a guest on. It was like the last guest down the stretch. Oh, Ron Gallagher's here. Down the stretch. And I fucking was falling asleep on camera, no sunglasses, fighting it. I'm like, you know when you're like driving and you start to fall asleep or whatever, you talk to yourself, you're like, come on, you're giving yourself like a fucking pep talk.
That's so hard.
I was. And then finally I was just like, fuck it. I feel bad for that poor girl. Like she must be like, what the fuck with this guy? Like, yeah, this sucks. Yeah.
I'm glad I got you guys nice and fresh first thing in the morning.
I don't know if it was nice and fresh. I really think it was fresh.
Yeah.
Because I can see him already. His eyes turn bright red when he's tired.
My eyes are red when I'm not tired. Yeah. So
because you haven't slept yet already.
Yeah, I literally got like 2 hours last night.
So nothing.
Well, you better sleep tomorrow before dinner and the fight.
I'll be ready for the fight
and dinner.
And dinner for sure. Food and fights. I don't ever.
We're going to.
I'm in.
Where are we? Salt Bay. The guy.
Oh my god, we were just watching. I really want to check that guy out. I can't believe that's like a whole experience here.
Yeah. See.
And you're my date? This is bullshit.
Oh, we're one of Vanessa's dresses.
Please don't.
Shit, I won't be able to get my leg into that damn fucking thing.
Well, Christina, thank you for coming in early in the morning.
She's already been up. She's working out. She's worked out.
That's why I love the fitness people early in the morning, because I know they'll say yes.
Before we go, so you're working at...
Congrats.
Thank you.
I was dying to ask you where you landed.
Oh my God.
But you didn't say anything for forever. And I was like, oh, fuck, what if she didn't get it? Because I know you need experience too.
Yeah.
I have experience.
I have like 8. I have like
But
10
they're
years
weird. Sometimes they want Vegas experience. Yes. It's like that
I have
chicken
very
and egg scenario.
Little Vegas experience. Right. And that week of auditions was like so fucking stressful. I went to all of them.
Yeah.
And I went back twice to most of them because I would change bikinis and then go as a cocktail waitress and then a bartender because I wanted to
Did they catch on?
Well, because some of them let you apply for both at the same time. Some didn't. And they'd be like, well, which one do you want? And I'm like, I want to be considered for both. But they like had this like weird...
Which is weird.
Attitude like, about it. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go back twice. So I just...
Did any of them catch it?
No. I don't think
That's alarming, right? Like, you guys aren't even fucking paying attention. Yes. The same person came in
so
twice.
So many fucking girls. Like, the lines were around the corner. Me and my best friend would show up and we're like, oh my God.
And you see the same girls.
Yes, every day for like for like 2 weeks. And then my very, very last interview was at the Virgin Hotel for this day club called Elia, which opened up last June or July. So very, very fresh, very new. I actually didn't even know about it, but when I went in, their theme is all like Tulum-ish. And I'm like, wow, this is like totally my vibe. I was actually leaving for Tulum on a red eye that night. And I was sitting there and I looked at Megan and I'm like, I'm gonna get a job here. And she's like, why'd you just say that? I'm like, I don't know, but I had this weird feeling as I opened up my notes in my phone and I started writing in it. I was like, I'm letting go of all of these expectations that I have to be at EBC or I have to be at WET. And I just want to release all of that. And I'm open to receiving the job that's best fit for me. That's going to be at my best interest. And I want to claim that energy. And I wrote it down in my notes and I interviewed and they gave me a fucking job on the spot.
Love it.
I literally was like, you're kidding out loud. And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
I love it.
I was so confused. I was just so shocked.
You're like, no, didn't you guys get the memo? You're supposed to act like I'm not hot. Like you barely paid attention to me.
Yeah.
And you got a stack of 500 people to look at. And you don't really care. That's how you're supposed to act.
And I also thought it was my worst interview because all the other ones were just like, what's your name? where did you work? What's a fun fact about yourself? Okay, thank you. In and out in like 45 seconds. And they asked me all these fucking questions when they saw my bartending experience, and I wasn't prepared. So I felt like I was just like fumbling, and I walked away being like, fuck.
That's awesome.
So it was very surprising. I felt very blessed. Especially when you can see the amount of people that come for these jobs.
Yeah,
like I just feel very blessed to have it, and it feels right, and I'm super excited. So,
well, congrats on the 180. Congrats on the job.
Thanks.
Congrats on Fearless as Fuck. Congrats on everything.
That's
congrats
back this
on the
week
new
too.
Guy. Congrats on all of it. And
the puppy.
Oh, yes.
And the puppy.
Puppy coming this year.
Puppy coming.
Puppy
deposit's
coming
been placed.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to bring him in on my podcast.
Perfect.
Sit him in the chair.
All right, Christina Lauren. We will see
you so much,
on the gram.
Yes.
All right. There it is. Guest number two, Lieberman.
All right.